Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 289. And today we're asking the question, how important is it to see the Old Testament in the New? How important is it to see it in the New? Not to understand its story, though that is vital, but to see it in the pages of the New Testament. How important is that for your preaching and teaching? So let me talk about that a little bit today and see what you think about it. So as you may know, I've been studying 1 Thessalonians for a teaching and preaching series that we're doing right now in the Watford and Thames Valley Churches of Christ. If you want to connect with that, then have a look at the websites. On my website, you'll see podcasts and various things. And of course, if you're like me, you have quite a lot of commentaries. So when you're studying a passage, at least in my situation, I have more commentaries than I have time to go through in depth for the average lesson I'm preparing. And that's an embarrassment of riches, and I'm grateful for that. But it means I have to be selective. So I don't use every commentary to study every passage for every lesson. And this time I decided to leave out one of my commentaries in my preparation for the series, at least until recently. That one is called The Commentary on the New Testament Use of the Old Testament. So it's a commentary very specifically focused on the New Testament use of the Old Testament. It's by two authors, G.K. Beale and D.A. Carson. I'll put a link in the show notes. So it's not just a commentary on the New Testament passage showing where there's a few Old Testament references, but looking at a New Testament passage specifically through the lens of in what way has the Old Testament influenced this writing. So it's not just about references, it's about writings. And you see, the reason I didn't, first of all, decide to use this commentary in my study of 1 Thessalonians is because there isn't, in that book, one explicit reference to the Old Testament. Not one. Now, in a book like Romans, you've got lots. But in 1 Thessalonians, there isn't any. And secondly, we also know that most of the members of the church in Thessalonica were Gentiles. We know that from chapter 1, verse 9. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So that wasn't Jewish people. There were some Jewish Christians there, but the majority were Gentile. And as such, maybe Paul didn't see the need to involve as much Old Testament as he did in some of his other letters. And I thought, well, maybe this isn't the right commentary for this particular area of study. But something drew me back to this. I don't know quite why exactly. But for some reason, I decided to open up this commentary and use it. And I am so glad that I did, because there's so much more Old Testament influence on 1 Thessalonians than I first realized. So what I'd like to do is give you an example. In fact, two brief examples from chapter 4 to whet your appetite and see if that might inspire you to do something similar. So in chapter 4, in verse 1, Paul starts to talk about immorality. It's God's will that you should be sanctified. Avoid sexual immorality. You should learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who don't know God. And that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all who commit such sins, we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Two things I'll draw out. There's lots in here, but just two things for now. One, the emphasis on holiness has certainly been influenced by Old Testament example and teaching. There's a great emphasis here on holiness. In verse 3 and verse 4 and verse 7, we've got the word holy, we've got the word sanctified. It's a strong emphasis in this section. Of course, that is how Israel was to stand out among the nations. And I'll put some scripture references in the show notes from Exodus 19, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 26, and others, so you can look those up. But I'll just read you, for example, Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, if you obey me fully, keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A holy nation to stand out. That's what was going on here. And of course, Paul would have connected with that. Paul being a Pharisee. And what does the word Pharisee mean? It means the separated ones. The Pharisees were the holy ones. And Paul was a Pharisee, and he would have understood this. And so as he writes this, he's not just thinking about his own ideas or what Jesus taught, though he is. He's thinking about the whole nature of God extending through the Old Testament into the New, the value of holiness, to be a separated people, to be a people standing out as the people of God, living a different moral life, living a life of holiness. See, when you engage the New Testament teaching with this Old Testament background, you get something more substantial, more deep, and more powerful. And the second thing that I think is rather interesting here that this commentary pointed out to me is the emphasis on the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned tons in 1 Thessalonians, though it is. But here we do have one of the references in verse 8. Anyone who rejects his instructions, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit here is connected with the holiness theme. Now, again, some scripture notes will be in the show notes. Ezekiel 36 and 37 emphasize this Spirit coming and giving the new life. And there's a link between the Spirit's arrival in the Old Covenant and enabling obedience to God. In other words, to carry out this life of holiness that we're called to. Jeremiah 31, Isaiah 55, and others, again, in the show notes. I'll give you one reference that I'll read here. Isaiah 59, as for me, verse 21, this is my covenant with them, looking forward, says the Lord. My Spirit, who is on you, will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, always be on your lips. So he's saying, my word is going to be really part of you, deeply part of you. It'll be on the lips of your children, on the lips of their descendants, from this time on and forevermore, says the Lord. This is a promise of what's coming. Paradoxically and wondrously, the Gentiles now the Gentiles who do not know God, who are not part of the covenant, and who have been, given to sexual laxity, they now have this Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit promised to the people of God. They, in fact, are the main beneficiaries of the Messianic age, this new age of the Spirit. Surprise, surprise, you could say. As they say in the commentary on this, it seems clear, therefore, that Paul viewed the conversion of Gentiles at Thessalonica as a fulfillment of the eschatological promises made to Israel, the end times. The Thessalonian believers were no longer simply Gentiles who do not know God. Now, they were members of the renewed Israel, the covenant people of God. And so, not going into all the detail here, but just wanted to use a couple of examples there from that chapter 4, that little section, showing how when we connect the New Testament ideas with their Old Testament background and the nature of God that doesn't change through Old and New Covenants, we have more depth, we have more background, we have more substance to what we're teaching and preaching. Now, not all of that may be relevant to your next lesson, but it's only as we, I think, use a commentary like this, a commentary that's focused particularly looking at a New Testament passage through the lens of the Old Testament, that we see the connections and we gain that greater insight and that greater depth. So that's what I've been doing, and I'm really glad I've done that now. I've done that for the whole of 1 Thessalonians, and it is informing the lessons and that I'm teaching and the podcasts that I'm recording. So my question to you is this. What resources do you have? And what resources do you use? Or what resources might you now go and find to make sure that you don't read the New Testament rootless, as if it's sprung out of thin air? Because it hasn't. It's connected with the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, connected with the God who was God then and is God now. And so, what do you use, or what will you use? What do you find is helpful for you not only understanding the Old Testament, but understanding its influence on the New Testament scripture writers? I'd like to know what you think. So drop me a line, malcolm@malcolmcox.org is the email. You can check the website, malcolmcox.org. Leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording so that we can learn from each other, because we learn best when we're learning in community. And by the way, I should say this, since I'm talking about the Old Testament, why not sign up for the Athens Institute of Ministry for the UK and Ireland next module, which begins on the 4th of March, 2023. And we will be doing Old Testament Survey. Old Testament Survey. How appropriate to what I've just been talking about. we understand the Old Testament better, we will understand the New Testament better, and we will therefore prayerfully preach and teach it more accurately and more effectively. That's our goal. If you've got an interest in that, do send me an email or go to the website, aimukandireland.com, links in the show notes. Right, that will do for today. I hope you find this helpful. Do let me know what you think. And until the next time, keep calm and carry on teaching. Take care and God bless.